This is A Sustainable Mind, episode 37. Hey there, Sustainable Minds. I would love to get to know you a bit better. Learn about your personal goals towards going green, your consumer habits, and your challenges. Please text the word survey to 323-536-1120. This is the same phone number that I always give you, so program it into your phone. Again, that's 323-536-1120. And we can start a conversation. And no, it's not going to be a fancy robot responding to you. It's going to be a one-on-one conversation with me. I look forward to hearing from you.
My hope is that anyone listening has the courage to go after their dreams for a better world. And I truly believe that we don't have to sacrifice wealth to better the planet. I hope you will take the challenge and prove the world through your business and your life that it's possible.
Welcome to A Sustainable Mind, where we delve into the minds behind today's most impactful environmental campaigns, organizations, and startups, inspiring the environmental changemakers of tomorrow. I'm your host, Marjorie Alexander. Ellen Helkema is a marketing consultant, world traveler, and the host of Power Women in Green, a podcast that highlights women that are making the world a better place, one business at a time. So, Ellen, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. So, how did nature, the environment, and sustainability play a role in your home life growing up?
Well, I grew up on sort of a farm. My father wasn't a farmer, but the house I lived in used to be a farm. And I think the only thing I could think about of me relating to nature was when we had trees on the property that were being cut down, I would cry. But actually, I think my younger part of my youth, the earlier years were spent playing outside and all that, and trees and all that, and then led to being a more materialistic person and into fashion and all that in my teen years. So I think only in the early years of my life, nature was a big part.
Wonderful. So you talking about your teenage years in fashion reminds me of your profession. So you used to be in marketing and advertisement, right? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, I worked in publishing in New York City at a fashion magazine and a travel magazine. And yeah, I had so much interest in fashion during my teenage years that it led to me to work there. And it was like my dream job, all the excitement. And I really liked it for the 3 years that I was there. But I quickly realized that I was missing a certain part of my of something, and I guess turned out to be nature and a more simple way of living. So then I moved to Portugal and lived in my van for 3 years and volunteered at various projects revolving around permaculture and sustainability and retreat centers and all that. So yeah, I sort of balanced those 3 years out with 3 years in nature.
Wow. Van life. Okay. So I'm not going to totally geek out right now, but that's actually something that I'm going to be embarking on in the near future. So we're definitely going to have to talk about that.
Oh, cool. Yeah, definitely.
So in terms of your upbringing, being on the farm and kind of having this in-between experience where you were in publishing, did you find that your ideals or your kind of ethics or the way that you viewed the world really bumped up against what you were doing professionally? Obviously, you went to Portugal afterwards, so it did a little bit, but your experience at the time, did you find that you were rubbing up against the ideals of other people in a way that was kind of like, ugh, this is so uncomfortable?
Yeah, it was so intense. It was, I didn't really think it was a sustainable way to live, to be honest, because like your entire life revolves around working. And in the US, as opposed to in the Netherlands, you only get 2 weeks of vacation. Mm-hmm. And it's just a very different way of living life that I wasn't used to from being from Europe. And I don't think I was as interested in the career aspect of it that I was willing to sacrifice my life for the career. And yeah, very much missing nature and having so much satisfaction from bicycling from Brooklyn to Manhattan for an hour every day to work an hour back. That gave me the most joy of everything. And then I realized I could be doing that somewhere else too.
So your experience down in Portugal, what new things did you learn down there? What new experience did you have that kind of set you off on the path that you're currently on right now?
Well, I learned so much about gardening and all of that, and about the running a retreat business, and about simple living, about being very happy with the very little. And yeah, that really inspired me. And it was also not enough for me. So that's what led me to Power Women in Green, the project that I'm working on right now. And that's because I merged the two. So I merged like the business side of it with the sustainability side of it, because I don't really believe that you have to give up one for the other to be either successful or green, sustainable. So yeah, that was a big learning on both ends.
So you mentioned your podcast, Power Women in Green, which is wonderful, by the way. And for everyone listening, I will be linking that up in the show notes page so you can go check out Ellen's wonderful podcast. It's so awesome. And a lot of really great women in the sustainability sector, business owners and environmental practitioners. It's really inspiring stories. So go check that out. So talk a bit about your transition from, you know, van life, from learning about gardening, being in Portugal, and, you know, moving towards this. Well, let's be honest, you're spending a significant portion of your time inside creating this, basically doing media content. How do you feel that that is getting more of the message out to the world? And what are some of the differences that you experienced?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot more time spent indoors, that's for sure. I just have to force myself to go outside, whereas before I was outside all the time in Portugal. And yeah, it's very different, and it is satisfying. And I do feel like the internet is a very important medium to bring this message across, and I really believe in it. But I do believe that in moderation, and that if you have a business from home, on the computer, online, that you need to get your butt outside. And that's what I forced myself to do.
So why did you choose Power Women in Green in terms of environmental topics? Why did you feel that that topic specifically was something that needed to be addressed?
I feel like the women that are running these businesses have amazing stories that need to be told. And they are not the type of women that are tweeting and yelling and screaming on the top of their lungs that what they are doing, they don't really feel the need to talk about it as much, but they are silently in the back working on this and making a difference, a huge difference in the world. Because the more products that are out there that are actually making a difference in the world, the easier it is for us, the consumer, to buy products that are good for the environment. So yeah, I really felt it was important to have this platform for these women to voice their passion, their mission, their vision, and help them succeed, which is also one thing I really feel passionately about helping these women.
After interviewing several of these women, these business owners, what do you see as some of the themes in terms of the challenges that they come up against?
I think the challenges are very diverse, and I think they're mostly related to like obstacles. Maybe if it's around sustainability, it's like ingredient sourcing or government issues they come across. But the one thing that I really see as a common theme with every single woman I've spoken to is that, yes, they see obstacles on the way, but they don't see them as obstacles. They see them as just a thing to overcome. So they overcome it and move on to the next. And they don't really see it as a huge big deal that could be changing the course of their business at all. They either flow around it, change it, and they keep going. And that's what I really admire about these women.
I want to backtrack here for a second, because I think there are a lot of people that, well, like you and myself both, see this path towards an environmentally based or sustainability based profession and life's work, you know, a few years in. You know, this is like our second or our third careers. And you deciding to just pick up your entire life in New York and move to a different country, try something new, that's something that a lot of people can benefit from, but very few people have the courage or the money or other resources to actually do that. So what advice could you give people out there that are like, I need a change. I need to get out of this rut that I'm in, get out of this job that I'm in, get out of this location that I'm in, go out and explore the world. How do you think that they can actually do that in a way that makes sense, where they can still make a little bit of money, they can travel, and they can really discover that thing in themselves that they're passionate about?
Yeah, I'm the type of person who just goes out and does it. I don't really think, I just do it. So
okay.
I wouldn't advise that because it does come with its own set of problems. So definitely also prepare a little bit, think it through and have a 6 months of thinking it through and not just pack up and leave. And just also let go of your attachment to things in slowly where you are right now. So for example, you have a house and you have monthly payments, sort through those and start minimizing every single thing that you have. What do you really need and what don't you need? And then you can start to see how little you actually really need. That will make you feel so much lighter and the decision so much easier to do. And maybe it will even earn you some money if you sell things, for example. And then if you have a job, for example, then you need to think, am I willing to leave this job? What will I do for money? Like, how long can I survive without this amount that I'm used to? For how long? So you have to do a little bit of math and researching, and then, yeah, really just do it. Because if you're 90 years old and you look back on your life and you stayed in the hometown where you grew up, for example, and you've always been dreaming of this other amazing thing that you wanted to do and you never did it, yeah, that's not a nice way to die, I don't think. So it sounds a little gloomy to think
gloomy.
About that. It is a really good way to look forward is by looking to the end and then looking back and really just do it.
So what's the biggest or most unexpected gift or benefit that you believe you've received as a result of that experience?
Probably, just getting to know yourself a little bit more, because I was always living my life for other people, I feel like, until I was maybe 25 or something, and then realized, oh, wait, I'm not really living the life I wanted to live. And then choosing yourself is very empowering. And then seeing that even if you fail or even if you come across strange, scary things along the way, it doesn't really matter because you'll, on the other end, you'll come out stronger. And that's really, that's a gift I cherish very much.
Excellent. So I want to go back again, back to your podcast, Power Women in Green. When you started it, what really was your objective? And do you think now after several, well, let's see, you launched in, I think, October?
August, yeah.
August, okay. So after 6 months, do you feel like your objective has changed? So what was your initial objective and how do you believe that it's changed or maybe that you've redirected or corrected things? Like, what's your focus now?
I don't think I've redirected so much yet. I feel like my objective was to merge these things and to do what I love most, which is promoting women who do amazing things and having their stories being told. And I think I'm still, basically, that's still really my objective, but I am sort of changing course and figuring out ways to monetize it, actually, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And considering events, award events, in which I promote these women further and other projects that I can offer these women. So there's a lot of the businessy side of it, but the real passion is speaking to these women, and that is still unchanged.
So speaking of expanding for the future and monetizing, things like that, where do you see yourself in 3 years?
Oh my gosh, 3 years. In 3 years, I think I will also delve a little deeper in the marketing experience that I have and help women with their strategy with online marketing and offline marketing. Mm-hmm. Definitely have networking events, maybe worldwide or in Europe. 3 years. And the awards event, the yearly recurring awards event. And yeah, I'll probably still be in the Netherlands, but I'm not too sure.
Well, you just said that you're the type of person that just gets up and goes. So, yeah. So who knows where you'll be. Exactly. But I think that that's really awesome that you're not only giving these women a platform to speak about their passions and this business that's come out of that passion that they can then share with the world, but also through your previous experience in publishing and advertising and marketing and giving that gift to other people, helping them expand their businesses. And one thing that I've noticed is that individuals that really care about the environment or other advocacy issues aren't necessarily the best at touting their own horn. Like you mentioned, yep. These women are out pounding the pavement, getting things done, and not always shouting from the rooftops about all the great things that you're doing. So I think that that's amazing that you've made that part of your objective, which is helping these women that have these wonderful ideas spread that message to an even larger group of people. So that's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. And I also feel like marketing is often perceived in a negative light by many mm-hmm. people, as if it's almost like indoctrinating or like psychological things. But actually, it's if you look at marketing, it's just positioning a brand in such a way that it will be able, the message will actually be able to reach more people who want to hear that message and who need something that. So it's actually a beautiful thing, but it's not as negative as people often interpret it.
I love that. I think that that's really awesome because, you know, I mean, speaking of monetization, you know, I've decided this year that A Sustainable Mind is going to be my business moving forward, period. I'm not working for anyone else anymore. But of course, I'm like, you know, I have to rearrange my own thoughts about marketing, you know, marketing on behalf of the environment, on behalf of something that I'm passionate about and that I think a lot of other people are passionate about or should be passionate about because this is the world that we live in. So why does the environment not deserve just as much money and attention and, you know, these huge marketing campaigns as, you know, any other corporation that's trying to sell you a product that you don't actually need, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly so. The environment deserves way more money. Sometimes I spoke to someone this week who was talking about a project he was doing and X amount of money was funding they had and about 75% was taken away from it again and they couldn't improve or help better the environment any longer because mm-hmm. of it. And that just, yeah, so disappointing.
Wow. I've got so many things going on in my head right now. So if someone's listening to this and they are creating a business that is advocacy related or they're a nonprofit, would you consult for them? If someone approached you and said, I've got this amazing project, this is how much money I have, will you help me? Is that something that you do?
I think so. I don't know. I would have to.
Well, I mean, it's clearly something that you do. I mean, you did it professionally, yeah. But just not for, you know, the little guy necessarily, but.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. I would have to look at the project. I'd definitely look at it. I just would, want to see if I could do it, you know, I want to see at the individual, look at the individual project and see if it's something that I could do because it's so difficult to say, like, I would want to definitely, mm-hmm. but. Yeah, I want to honestly know if I can and if it's something that I'm good at. And if it's always good to also see if the people click, mm-hmm. because if the business owner and I don't click, then, you know, it's going to be difficult to help.
Right. That makes total sense. We need more people like you out in the business world. It's like, I want to be helping. You know, I want to be helping the small business person, the person that wants to be an advocate for this or that issue, but also knows what they're doing in terms of business strategy, marketing, advertising. We need more people like that on the side of the good guys, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And there are more and more coming. I found very many marketing firms actually when doing research that are specifically for green businesses. More and more coming.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. So speaking of getting to know people a little bit better, that brings us to our 7 sustainable questions.
Yay!
And the first of which is, can you share with us one long-standing habit that you believe has significantly improved your life?
I would have to say meditation and movement, because they're essential to me to be a conscious human being, and they lead me to make better decisions in business as well as in sustainability. So the more I take care of myself in that aspect and calm my mind, the easier it is to sort of see mistakes before they actually happen, if you know what I mean.
Yes, I do know what you mean. Meditation has actually been the answer for several recent guests. And I want to follow up and just ask, what, if you don't mind telling us, what is your method of meditation? I find that there are so many and people often feel like they're doing it wrong. So what do you find that works for you?
Honestly, I do it a little bit differently every day. It depends on my state of mind, to be honest. So if I'm having a good meditation day, I'm basically just being silent and doing nothing. And if I'm having a difficult day, I might listen to repeat a mantra in my head, or I'll just focus on my body and feel the energy in my body, or see myself with light coming out of me. Or I will do love and kindness meditation, and I will wish love, health, happiness, and a peace to all beings on earth. So it varies a little bit.
And of course you have a baby, so you know, you have to be flexible.
Yeah, definitely. Something I've learned over the last 2 years.
No kidding.
For being in my life. Yeah.
So what is one new habit that you're cultivating in your life right now?
I think I would have to say conscious consumerism, because even though it's something I try to actively be aware of, I know I can do much better at it. So that's also why I've decided to not buy anything new this year, because I want to see if that makes me feel lighter. And yeah, so that's one I'm working on right now.
Nice. And that is, yeah, that's very, can be very difficult for some people. I think when you're coming from a background of like, the second that you need something, just running out to the store, getting it, not thinking about where it was made, the materials that went into making it, not going to consignment shops or, you know, thrift stores that are selling you used goods, things like that. It can be a little difficult for some people to practice conscious consumerism. But I think once you get educated a little bit about where your materials come from, it just becomes ingrained in who you are. And, you know, it just sort of happens on its own.
Exactly. Yeah. And the less things are, the better. Yeah,
absolutely. I totally agree.
Yeah.
Let's.
In Portugal, I actually lived there for 3 years. I barely bought anything new because I didn't have any stores around. So it was much easier there. So I thought maybe if I just say no buying, that it would be easier too.
Right. That totally makes sense. What is one item you've acquired in the last year that has helped you that has helped you live a more earth-conscious lifestyle?
I think I have to say my bicycle and the seat for my 2-year-old daughter, because it's the best means of transportation and it doesn't harm the environment like a car, for example. And the Netherlands is flat, mm-hmm. so we can get around everywhere by bicycle. Plus, we love cows, so we go and pet the cows all the time. And I also have to say my metal straws and the sporks and things that I carry around with me everywhere.
Nice.
And a water bottle.
Very, very cool. Yeah, I mean, bicycle. I got a bike recently. I had a bike. It was the wrong size. And so I never used it. And I have a new one now and it fits me. But I'll be honest, I don't ride it that much in terms of getting places that I want to go. I use it just to get outside, to exercise a little bit, because I'm scared. Los Angeles is a car city, and there are more people moving here all the time. And honestly, I know a lot of people that have been hit over the years, and it just scares the bejesus out of me. So I kind of stick to the neighborhoods, you know, where the speed limit is low, where there's not a lot of traffic, where I can ride on the sidewalk, even though I don't technically think that that's legal, but they don't really enforce it. Yeah, it scares me in terms of getting places. I wish it was something that didn't. And maybe if I lived in a different location, I'd probably ride a lot more often. But here it's and also people get their bikes stolen all the time here in LA. Oh, my gosh. It's such a booming business. Yeah. So
Yeah, in New York it was the same. Yeah, it was insane.
Yeah.
Scary. And the cars don't even care about the bicycles. And in the Netherlands, the bicycles are king and queens of the road.
Yeah, in several cities in Europe, I hear that that's the case. So that's very exciting. And I wish more U.S. cities kind of would follow that example.
Yeah, I think they're trying, but it is difficult. You know, they have to put on all the bike lanes around and stuff. So it takes time, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. In the making of Power Women in Green, what is one misstep that you've made that taught you a valuable lesson? And how did you overcome that challenge?
A misstep that I had. And how did I overcome that challenge? Very many, of course.
There are a lot in podcasting, aren't there?
So many things went wrong. I mean, everything went wrong, basically. But you just figure it out, I think. Stupid answer, but yeah, it's really true.
Well, some people are like, really good about finding solutions, like just figuring it out as they go. But me, I'm like a planner. I'm like, okay, what's the problem? Let me try to troubleshoot this. And I'm very methodical about it, which, can take forever.
Yeah, I usually, if something's really wrong, I'll ask someone and it'll just be fixed really quickly. And that's it. Sorry, that's like the stupidest answer ever.
No, that's fine. It works. Hey, if that works for you, then good. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Do you have an internet resource that you find helpful on a regular basis that you think would be beneficial to share with our listeners?
I would honestly say listen to podcasts such as yours and mine, and things like find books on Audible and YouTube and all these types of online listening platforms, and do that instead of watching TV, for example. Like, I listen to books all the time and podcasts when I'm cooking and exercising and cleaning the house and all that. So you're learning while you're doing household chores. So I would say that's like a double whammy there, and educate yourself while you're doing the mundane things of life.
Excellent. Yes, I love podcasts for that, because sometimes, you know, when you're doing chores, it's not always the most enjoyable thing, and it can actually distract you and go really fast. So
it's really nice to, then you're making your chore fun.
Absolutely. What book would you recommend for sustainable minds out there that wants to shift their mindset specifically to become the change that they want to see in the world?
So I could recommend a book about sustainability, but I think the important thing is to take action. And I think a lot of people in sustainability know all about sustainability, but I want them to go out and take action. So I would recommend The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, because it really teaches you a lot about being an effective person. So if you want to take your own personal development to the next level, I would really recommend that book.
Excellent. And I will admit, that's a book that I started and I did not finish.
Oh, yeah. Okay, finish it.
So I need to go back and finish reading that one. Oof.
Yeah, I need to reread it, because it's so powerful, really.
My list of books to read is increasing. It's getting, the list is getting longer all the time, so I got to get on that.
Yeah.
So it's been a long journey for you, from your publishing job in New York to your van life and farm work down in Portugal to creating this awesome podcast, Power Women in Green. What are some of the tools or resources, connections, what would you put in place right away to ensure the amount of success you have right now, but faster?
I would have gotten out of my comfort zone much sooner. So it really took all these adventures and stuff to finally learn that I don't really care about what other people think of me. Be brave. So you have to go through all these uncomfortable things and going to the next level and next level and next level, and just realizing that it doesn't really, nothing really matters. And that is a very powerful lesson to learn. And it takes a lot of stumbling and falling and all of that. But I would have allowed myself to stumble much sooner.
Yeah, getting out of your comfort zone is very, very important. So I want to give everyone the details for how they can listen to Power Women in Green. Of course, you can listen to it on iTunes or wherever you find your podcasts. Also, link up with Ellen on social media. So there's a Facebook page and an Instagram for Power Women in Green, and I'll be linking those up in the show notes.
Thank you.
And also visit powerwomenin.com. So if you know of a woman that's doing amazing work in sustainability or for the environment, send Ellen an email. Tell her about this person's amazing story. Pitch them as someone to be on her show. We need more women in the environmental and sustainability sector to get their voice out there about all of the amazing things that they're doing, their projects, their books, their companies, their campaigns. We need to be spreading the word about these women and the wonderful things that they're doing for our planet. So please do get in touch with Ellen at ellen@powerwomeningreen.com. So Ellen, do you have any parting pieces of guidance that you would like to give Sustainable Minds out there?
My hope is that anyone listening has the courage to go after their dreams for a better world. And I truly believe that we don't have to sacrifice wealth to better the planet. I hope you will take the challenge and prove the world through your business and your life that it's possible.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of A Sustainable Mind. If you're interested in that survey that I talked about earlier, text the word survey to 323-536-1120. And we'll catch you next time on A Sustainable Mind.